but he hated the smell of fried chicken, which was deliberately wafted from that restaurant and filled the whole neighborhood. And he became quite irritated with Colonel Sanders and the entire enterprise. He
drew a comic
once about how Colonel Sanders was approached by somebody who wanted to put little prayers in each bucket of chicken, but he managed to say, but they would get all greasy, and that would be an affront to the Lord. It's a very funny strip. Now, when you visited Justin, when you came in and looked down the long hallway, you'd give a start, because there at the end of it was a life-size statue of Colonel Sanders wearing a white suit, a white coat, which he had scavenged from somewhere. And although he was angry at Colonel Sanders, he loved the chicken also, which is why there was a love-hate relationship. And once, when it was his birthday, Paul Mavridis and I prepared a special gag for him. Paul made it all. It was a fake bucket that said green fried chicken with a picture of Justin on it. And inside there was fake chicken, fake drumsticks and thighs that were painted green.
They were sculpted.
When we were going to go out, Paul said, well, I guess we can have some takeout chicken. And Justin really pricked up, really? And then when it was handed this bucket, he was utterly, what's this? You know, he can't, this can't be eaten. What is this? No, he didn't get the gag.
It said Colonel Justin's green fried chicken on the outside of the bucket.
Seemingly, boring.
It's really well done.
Because it still has a further development to relate. By the way, this whole story was printed by Brian Doherty in his book about underground comics.
Or maybe not the whole story.
Which completely leaves me out, as they all do.
Yeah.
So,
the book's all leaves me out.
Years later, this Colonel Sanders franchise was run by a young man who decided, I'm going to make this the best KFC in existence. And he worked with his pals to cook the chicken so precisely that it was actually better than at other examples of the franchise. And I got to know him, and he invited me to come to the back of the KFC where they were smoking dope. And as I smoked dope with them, I noticed that right next to them was a large poster by Justin Green of chickens cooking and eating Colonel Sanders. Who would have thought that they had that in there? And they didn't know that Justin had lived nearby and had... anyway, this extra crispy chicken that is over there at the 24th, you've got to have some kind of cheap chicken in the neighborhood. We used to have Cajun chicken, supposedly, thing in that building that was burned down in a suspicious real estate fire. What's the name of that? Popeyes, or as some properly call it, Pope Yes, since there's no apostrophe.
Pope Yes?
Well, it doesn't... there's no apostrophe, so you can't really say Popeyes.
Well, maybe they mean, multiple Popeyes. Plural.
Possibly. They,
Popeyes.
But they, they have pictures of Popeye and Bluto and so forth, and olive oil up there, so they clearly mean Popeyes, but they refuse to incorporate the apostrophe into the logo, which is a serious grammatical solecism.
It does not seem to put a dent in their sales, though.
No, unfortunately. But then again, there was the fire. And,
how many would they sell if they attended to English grammar?
Real estate folks just got tired of that big building, which had a candy store, a grocery store, apartments.
Gone now.
A restaurant, a taco parlor, and, well, I say that with some cynicism, because now they're planning to build condos for the richest of the rich there.
Condos for the tech bros, and away it goes.
All that was left after the building burned down was a big hole, a pit, which is still there, which people were calling Lake Conway, as if Ron Conway had something to do with it, and he probably did. This pit was full of water, and clouds of mosquitoes would rise out of it and infest the neighborhood until frogs appeared. And they were eating the mosquitoes, and you could walk and hear frogs croaking. Did you ever?
And how did they get there?
Well, they had the frogs killed. And so I say, fuck them, you know. Not only is the building gone, they're killing the frogs that are eating the mosquitoes that are trying.
Who had the frogs killed?
Whoever has the plans.
Who let the frogs out?
To build tech mansions condos.
What's it?
Tech mansions for the gods.
What's this?
Puzzling evidence.
Joe. It's 12:05 a.m.
Something Radio Valencia laughs at.
The Ask Dr. Hal show on RadioValencia.fm. This is Dr. Hal Lindell presiding over the old same show.
No, it's okay.
Right.
Yes,
don't you worry, you're pretty low head over there.
It's fine. I'm not worried. I know I can relax.
It's got echo, it's got gain.
Bob will collect me on the saucers tomorrow.
Yes, I know, I'm working on it.
Right.
Yeah, then they'll get back.
Jojo was a man who thought. Yes, indeed. Yes, right, right. Yes, right, of course. Definitely.
I could have showed all night.
Well, San Francisco's colorful Mission District. Oh my gosh, look, it's the second coming of Jesus.
Bob Payne.
Jesus,
no
Bob,
one
but
looks
that's
up from his personal
American
devices.
Jesus, I guess. Jesus,
Bob Payne.
Comes streaming radiantly down through the clouds.
Streaming radio.
The dreadful judge spreads his throne in middle air.
But,
yes,
absolutely.
And
finally,
then, they notice something's
at last,
going on, and they
bliss,
hold up their phones
and perfect
to take pictures
is.
To them. Blazing sky for the last day of
for
the
now begins
the day of wrath,
and from that happy day
when the dead come out of their graves, I'm going to take a squint.
The old
Bruno's
dragon
too.
Underground in straighter limits bound, not half so far.
Check it out.
We're surrounded.
I just killed one viewer.
Okay?
I'm okay. Let's keep going.
Came right behind you.
Whoa.
No, don't shoot. It's a listener.
Yeah, I just got rid of one. I can't
you mean
see
it was a listener?
Who would turn off this show?
Is my message coming through? Know, yeah, really. I guess it is.
Call up everyone until we find out who it was.
Where's your cell phone?
Who did it? Who's responsible?
Start
that's what
AIDS.
I want to know.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't matter if you like me on Facebook.
This
it doesn't
affair besmirches us all.
And apparently, you imagine that they disqualified
the reason
like
the disaffected elements here,
to him on Facebook,
who I will not name, believe that we are a destructive cabal. A festering cancer in the side of their organization. And we must not confirm this erroneous belief.
But you're right, you know. Pretending to listen is the greatest
thing. All right, if you say so.
Damn.
Up with a new knife.
Two.
That's the way the show is. It just makes you want to be
sharpen
there
sharpen it
night.
Up. Sharpen
especially
it up.
If you're one of our favorite callers.
Now that's a noise.
It was in the Subgenius in 1970.
Subgenius speech box.
And
the hearty
radio
Heil
and
Silver.
Television. Silver.
There goes yes, the ranger Lone again. Ranger.
His faithful Indian companion, Tonto.
A fiery horse with a speed of light and a hearty, hi-yo, silver.
Yes, I'm afraid so. We're on old-timey radio now.
You know you have to be really close
with
to have those
deep.
Silver bullets have any effect.
But where was your question, Carl?
Because the silver melts after the bullet
yeah,
is fired and it tumbles.
Shoot it in.
Can you hear me, Chief?
We can hear you.
Colonel Franks.
Even though you don't think we can hear you, sometimes we actually can hear you.
But the Rangers
once in a while.
Bullets and all that were just for show, you know, part of the showmanship.
Amazing.
Well, it could be. I'm not surprised.
It's a literary high.
considering the circumstances. That's the excuse for everything.
These
considering the circumstances.
Sketches, the
never forget that excuse.
Gambler, a matter of gross abysses of taste.
In the gambling and frisking.
The old Southwest.
In the old Southwest.
Landmark in the development of rough-edged American humor.
Montezuma's revenge castle.
Puzzling evidence. Bound
in the Sonoran Desert.
Into American picturesque literature.
Carved out of the clay.
Russian hammer built a wall.
John Wayne, John Held, John
Beside
Wall.
The
I'm sick of all
Trump
of
Wall.
John Held Jr.
John Held Jr., that great 1920s cartoonist who defined an era with his Art Deco guys in tuxedos and perfectly round heads, you know the kind I'm talking about, and the beautiful babes, the flappers in their short skirts, their legs drawn in perfect detail. Yes, these cartoons were quite instrumental back in the 1920s, as I well remember. Yes, I can. Why don't I just admit it, and why don't I just say it? Because it does no good. But what the hell? And so you see, I was born in the year of our Lord, 1650. And if you asked me a few years later, in the reign of what monarch was your birth, I could only say there was none. For it was in the interregnum when Oliver Cromwell controlled poor England. We've been over before all that business about the apothecary and the immortality potion. I do not believe, and I was warned, that it is not actually an immortality potion that I will wear out. Easy to believe, since I'm wearing out at a prodigious rate now. But on the other hand, you know, 374 years, and that's 375 on November 28th, like poor William Blake. So, all the long-lived people I used to be in touch with, but they don't seem to be on the radar anymore. And so, it was a most interesting business to come to the colonies. But it was difficult to leave the land of our ancestors. A combination of English, Welsh, Scots, Irish, you know, all those things mixed together with a soupçon of French and a smattering of German. The French, perhaps genetically speaking, and this has never been analyzed, comes from the invasion in the year of our Lord, 1066, Anno Domini, when the Norman French conquered Anglo-Saxon England. Thus, that Frenchified talking got mixed up with our good old Anglo-Saxon talking, and that produced the English language we now speak. Now my parents would discuss the situation, but not if they knew I was listening, because it was not really free to speak your mind lest you be thought to be a roundhead sympathizer. And roundheads often lost their heads in the period of the interregnum. Of course, everything I heard was, you might say, tainted, perhaps, by prejudice. after so long, it is hard to believe in the original motivations which were the first architecture of all bases of my belief. So this ship, you think you're going to drown every moment because it's made of wood, and as it moves with you in it, it constantly cracks and shifts and grinds and pops, and it's only held together with wooden pegs. And huge waves are slamming you, and the sound, the wrenching, ripping sound that sounds like it's just about to rip open and send you into the raging sea. And sometimes that did happen to vessels, as all mariners knew. So it was quite a crossing. And the Atlantic itself is a stormy place, not like the Pacific, which is also stormy, but in a different way. So, they talk about the pilgrims. Why, we were here long before those so-called pilgrims. Blue noses, prigs, weirdos. But then again, I, a person of no worth, calumniate my betters. Hey, K-Rob, how nice to see you. Well, please have a seat. I'll see if I can get any of these other microphones into operation. One of them has to work, you would think. Wouldn't you think? Let's just see. There, that one. That one sounds good.
Good. Happy Christmas.
And to all a good night.
Hey, look, it's Macaulay Culkin with Donald Trump.
Yeah, an astounding cinematic moment to be rerun again and again in your nightmares.
I didn't want this for Christmas. I did all that Santa lap pandering business for nothing.
Well, I'm actually not that familiar with the film, but I have, of course, seen that excerpted scene.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't think Macaulay Culkin doesn't gripe about what doesn't come his way.
Yeah, I'm sure it is a skillfully made thing. I wouldn't mind watching it. It just never has happened to be accessible, including the time being accessible. You know how it is.
And there's plenty of, you know, Roadrunner Coyote bonks and, you know.
Have you ever seen the movie Immortal?
No.
I'd recommend it. You might think it was boss, bitchin', and groovy.
On Boss Radio.
And it's in English, unlike the Adele Blanc-Sec movie. It's based on the comics of the French cartoonist Bilal, the science fiction comics, but of a very bizarre nature. And it's wonderfully done. It has Thomas Kretschmann in it. You may remember him from such movies as The Pianist, King Kong. Anyway, he's quite good, and it's a movie full of marvelous supernatural occurrences and transformations.
Adrian Brody?
No.
Not him. Okay.
No, Kretschmann is the German guy who lets him live in the building and doesn't take him off to be killed. Remember, the one who comes and listens to him play the piano?
Oh,
and
I'm a little lost on that one.
Well, he's in King Kong, the Peter Jackson version, as Captain Engelhorn.
Oh, gotcha. Oh, okay. Now I got the face.
He's an astronaut who comes out of a 30-year hibernation and
Captain of the Venture.
Yes, that's right. In Immortal, he is enlisted by the god Horus, who has come back. The Egyptian gods have come back, and they're in a floating pyramid above New York, but it's New York of many centuries hence, an amazing city in and of itself, in which this story takes place. There are quite amazing things in it, so I think you'd enjoy it. It's consistently entertaining,
like
sexy, strange.
Artificial intelligence, when it's kind of a frozen wasteland at the end.
Ah, yes. And those creatures, whether artificial or not, are there.
Yeah, I think those are AIs. You know.
Future evolved robots.
Right.
Robots enabling themselves to participate in their own evolutionary development.
Right.
An inevitable stage. When robots design robots and design better robots, you see the chance of the curve occurring and the vast increase of artificial intelligence. Not like we plan it, but the way they would plan it in order to take care of business.
Right. Yeah, the mathematics for sustainability are all there. You just adhere to the program.
Well, they're having fun right next door.
I think they have, like, hamburgers and hot dogs.
Wow.
You know,
hamburguesas.
Because it's like an American holiday.
That's right.
Go la dares eat the bar hot dog.
American is apple pie.
That's right.
Well,
Da Bears.
Tomorrow I am doing my 50th show, and
50th show ever?
My 50th Ask Dr. Howell the Home Edition show.
Oh, gotcha.
It's not this third Sunday of the month. No, it's
on X Day itself.
On X Day, exactly. And in the ecstasy of X Day, this show will go. And there's no money charged for anything. I'll answer all the questions for free. Just watch the cartoons and the stuff, you know. Enjoy yourself. Is the idea. And it does have some nifty stuff in it. Nice Robin Coomer video, a bit augmented, all kinds of stuff. And
what day is it? Well, it's X Day, mister.
And at 2 p.m. Our time, I'm supposed to talk to some Euro subs in Prague. And we'll see how that
Prague
goes. It's 11 o'clock at night, their time, when it's 2 p.m.
So they'll just have one little sliver of X Day left.
X Day will already have proved to be a fake if that happens, unless we are already on the saucers and do not know it because of the overwhelming simulation which the aliens have created, which will gradually safely release the knowledge in its totality of what shift has happened.
Bluetooth is a no-brainer for these folks.
Why, they've got teeth of every color. These fluorescent aliens light up a room, literally.
Is this Gulliver?
Exactamente.
Yeah.
The case. It broke in two. The jewel box.
Is this a Sinbad movie? And it's like, no, this isn't a Sinbad movie.
Meanwhile, they're banging and kabooming outside. They really had some severe detonations. And you can smell the cordite and gunpowder even now coming in over the transom in the wind. To celebrate the founding of the United States of America.
That's right.
Go, Lord dears. So this article in Castle of Frankenstein has that guy's name and tells all about him. Yeah. It's an incredible article. It gets into, I mean, it has, who would have thought that all this information was retrievable?
Yeah,
but yes,
yeah, no kidding.
Not only him, but the other members of the crew, you know, some of them had very interesting,
you mean
Sinbad's men, you know, gradually get picked off one by one. The ones inside the cage.
The guys that he got from the jail? Or
yes, yes. You must never reveal what you are about to see. And they look at each other like, what's going on? You know, those guys have a very interesting backstory, yeah, too.
But Harufa was like a confidant. He wasn't like a backstabber or anything.
No, Harufa was a loyal man.
Yeah.
And it is important to, if one is a central hero in a saga, to have a sidekick, you know, Holmes and Watson and so forth. You have to have someone to be measured against and someone to record your activities for posterity.
He's such a large man. Yes, Your Highness. Rollo, answer the door.
Rollo, answer. Rollo, I said answer the door. Rollo, not there yet.
Yeah, working on bagel and cream cheese sandwich. You were supposed to have that done an hour ago.
Yeah, Rollo is not the latest model. And he weighs a huge amount. Like that, yeah, like the robot in Devil Girl from Mars. Who's,
well, he's leaving all the tracks in that,
yeah,
carpet.
So right,
like,
right.
Ripping up,
well,
the carpet.
Well, it's an immensely heavy mass of machinery. miracle of miniaturization for his time, using that type of technology.
Yeah.
Now, did you see that? Meanwhile, the Chinese are really ahead of us in the robot world, and there are teams of robots playing soccer now. It's a big thing in China,
yeah,
to watch. And you can, you know, look at it. Take a look.
Chinese robot soccer.
Yeah. There are humans walking in the foreground, you know, like coaches and so forth. But it's the robots that are out there playing.
With their iPads, like, programming.
You just see these people walking back and forth. I don't know what they're doing, yeah, but the robots.
But it's not like humans are controlling drones. Like
no, I think
like
the
drones.
Robots are actually playing the game. They're all programmed to. It's not motions that are choreographed to be entertaining. It's the motions that the robots have measured out for themselves. So they're walking. Their movement seems sort of like these little mincing steps. You know, you'd think that they'd be making heroic leaps and like that, but they are seriously playing the game,
right,
trying to get the ball away, trying to kick the ball, and so on. So there you go. This is the Model T Ford era of humanoid robots.
Mm-hmm. Crankshaft.
Welcome to Crankshaft Magazine. I'm your host, Semi-Human.
Less human than human is our motto.
Also featuring Magnus Robot Fighter. In the giant megalo city of Northam.
Magnus Robot Fighter.
Those sewer droids are running amok.
This is a job for Magnus.
How did Magnus smash steel robots with his arms? That was never explained. One later comic suggested he had a steel striking plate implanted in his forearm. But he would smash robots, and when they died, they would always go squee in the comics, you know. I love that squee sound they make when you hit them.
All right, you steel stooly, talk as you wish, sir.
Yeah. Yes, Rollo. Yeah. Rollo, Killbot 2000. Yeah.
The great thing about those is they were drawn by Russ Manning, who's a wonderful comic book artist, and who made the greatest Tarzan comics of all. And he was doing that right up to the time that they changed his assignment so that he did Star Wars, which he did until he died. He did Star Wars comics in his style.
The Marvel ones?
I don't know.
I know Marvel had a run of Star Wars comics.
Well, died, I think, in 1981 or something like that.
Okay.
I think that's right.
They probably still would have been running back then.
Yeah.
I don't know if they lasted the whole trilogy or not, but...
Well, it's a newspaper comic, so that it appears in the Sunday comics every week, and you advance by that number of panels into the story.
Gotcha.
But he's a really dynamic illustrator. He drew Tarzan well. He drew women and apes really well. He was ideal for... And also, he understood the actual stories that everything is based on, but you never get to see. So his comics really had that going for them also.
How could you break your egg in the idiotic middle?
Well, you know, that was the
good monsters in
terrible war that the Lilliputians had. The big Indian controversy, where on their battlefield many perished because of the difference of breaking the egg at the wrong end. You know, thousands were killed. It sounds silly, but the fact that they're 6 inches high has nothing to do with it. It's just as silly when we do it.
Stupid, and that's an ancient tradition going back to Hercules.
Yeah, brute,
Hercules was good-hearted but dumb.
Yes, Hercules, famous in song and story, Hercules, winner of ancient glory. I tell you, I don't get no respect.
We all have the answer. Anything in there? You know, K-Rob, we're not doing Relodio tomorrow.
What? Yeah.
And
I can't. I'm not able to.
This is a bunch of weird talk.
No, it's only brutal honesty. In my case, I have this thing to do that takes up all my time.
In the refrigerator
I still have those bottles of banana milk in there. But don't worry, I haven't touched them.
Oh, you know what I had today? It's at a Korean kind of snack shack on Valencia Street.
Korean what?
Korean snack shack on Valencia Street. Anyway.
Where is it?
It's like... Yeah, it's near 18th, actually. Am I talking about this place on the tape?
Why not? Oh, well, you mean this tape?
Oh, my God.
And that's part of their regular...
Who wants to live forever?
Regular or premium?
And die happy.
But that's part of their standard lineup as of now.
This is the Rosa Brothers, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, okay.
They make these drinks, the banana and root beer milk and all the other stuff.
Root beer milk is damn good.
Banana milk.
That sounds interesting.
That is, it's Korean banana milk.
You're making a Korea out of it.
With chocolate and coffee, and they call it a banana choco latte.
Wow, I'll remember that. Banana choco? That's a flavor?
Well, there's like banana milk with chocolate syrup, and it's got coffee latte kind of espresso in it. And I had that. It's a Korean drink, and it's extremely good. And it's on a place called Matko, M-A-T-K-O.
And that's in your neighborhood?
Yeah, it's 18th and Valencia, respectively. It's basically across the street from the chapel venue on Valencia Street.
Okay.
Anyway, they have a show. I think they call it Dream a Banana or Banana Dream Shake or something.
Yeah, Banana Dream Shake. Wow.
It's, I don't know if it's to die for, but it's heavenly.
Well, so. Like the banana milkshakes at Whizburgers that are truly legendary. But I'm wondering, you ought to try the banana shakes at Mitchell's. They make their own banana ice cream, and I'll bet you they make a milkshake, which would be
civilization, but the matches would
for our matches.
There used to be a fountain on Castor Street fight off the where you can get a pineapple shake.
Well, there's also, I have gone to SF General recently, and I noticed from the bus the St. Francis soda fountain is open. And, you know, they make their own candy shakes and things, and it's right down from Roosevelt's Tamale Parlor, which, amazingly enough, is also still open.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Yeah. So my drink isn't good enough. Is that what you're saying?
It's just not at all.
I got a great drink going, and I'm proud of it.
Okay. Awesome. I've gone on two separate rants on... Doug.
They say it on the flyer. It says limited time only.
Upset,
of
course, no one's listening. But
so I'm
there's
maybe
be
guessing
people upset.
This is like a summer drink.
So, you know, change the subject or something. Or a response. Why don't you
no more banana,
why don't you argue
shake.
Against me? Listen to this, folks. Is he like
that's near my
what? They're going to close down the shop, or they stop importing the banana stuff because of the Trump tariffs?
Yeah.
That's how you'd like to feel.
That's not...
it'll be... by the way. It just says banana dream shake or whatever.
If it's an import, there'll be that problem.
And it says limited time only. I figure, like, okay, this is like a McRib or something.
I'm scared to know. I'm scared.
It's going to be like limited release drink.
Under those circumstances, the fun, weird drinks cannot possibly survive. Only the ones that are really well established, Coke and Pepsi and so on, can survive.
People that are actually listening.
Yeah, big.
But
big cola.
Let's see. Do I have any other
or big
rants?
Big soda? Is it big soda or big?
It would be in the Scott Wiener big soda.
Celebritocracy.
Scott fought big soda and won.
Run by celebrities. How about the internet and a
celebrity twist?
Facebook verse being run by celebrities who want to get into politics, like Reagan, like Schwarzenegger, like
he's got wieners on here.
What's his name? Trump. And yet, I don't know. Celebrities used to not be anywhere near this important in life. It's pathetic. All they do, you know what actors do, folks? What actors do is they show up, first of all. That's the most important thing. And then they open doors, walk down hallways, look to the left, look to the right, look down, eat a meal. Most of it is nothing. And then there's a little teensy little bit of talent that you have to cram into about 5 minutes of your role. Like, you know, even the biggest roles are like 15. Nicholson in Batman probably did 15 minutes about on screen. Maybe not that. And I'm not putting down Nicholson, but he's the greatest of all. But
it's hard.
For most actors, it's easy. Acting is the easiest art. Complain. Call the show. Get on the chat line.
It says here, less chit-chat.
Let's hear from all you wonderful artists out there, actors.
No one is chatting. I know. What is Pepe's point?
They're intimidated. They're just backed up against the corners of their room. Even the great VJ Pussycat is just terrified. She's shaking. Goose pimples. But this is, as Hal would say, we give it to you straight, folks. This is the hard-hitting copy that you expect from that show. Doug, do you have anything to add, Doug?
Oh, no. This is my show. There's nothing at all.
You know, aren't you going to complain about anything? You think everything's fine? Yep, okay. Everything's just Jim Dandy.
with KPFA's Puzzling Evidence.
Now a cult classic.
What can I do to help the drugs?
Will show turn you on?
No, Phineas, you shouldn't call in if you have to whisper. Nobody Phineas, can be a show whisperer.
I think we need to draw the line somewhere. Are you sure you've got Phineas on this device?
Yeah. As Philo pointed out, once we use this device for a communications device, it's like a phaser, but it's the size of a building. That'd be great.
Set building to stun.
Yeah, it takes about 8 hours, so hold on, monsters. Just wait.
But there can be a phaser.
Like the monolith monsters.
Oh, okay, we'll just blow it up then, sir.
Well, it's there might be something valuable in here.
Hey, the movie's starting, man. Be quiet. You got any popcorn?
So, wait. Is there a microwave here? For the feature presentation?
Yeah, this is the feature presentation. Get any popcorn? Is there a microwave here? Because I'll start
reading. Your imagination is a director.
We need to grind popcorn.
Oh, wait, I'm the director? Or my imagination is the director?
No, you, your imagination that runs
you. Oh, okay.
Which starts with a simple twist.
Which is better than actually seeing the tape.
Oh, I get it.
That's what he watches the videos and then relates them to you as a morning driver.
Well, that makes it the world's problem.
How the fool got started, how one can only guess. And the truth don't mean nothing.
At a time, your boy is normal.
If you ain't got the cash.
Yes, sir.
The credit card, mommy. An invisible dad. Career opportunities that you never.
Hearing music in my headphones. Oh, thank you. Okay. After my pictures, the pictures arrived.
Quiet.
Though the evening itself had hardly been.
Keep walking.
Worth the price of my now withered hope. Thank you. Okay. That the photos would nevertheless reveal the perfection I had.
1994 was clearly a year of change.
Yeah. How was the day do you watch TV?
About one.
One? Why?
Of course. Because it's not much. Okay.
It's not much to look at, huh?
Yeah.
How many hours a day would you say you watch TV?
12.
You watch TV 12 hours a day?
No, I like TV.
Weekdays, about 3. Like yesterday, Sunday, 12, 14. 12, 14 hours on a weekend day? Yes, that's what I did. Yesterday was 14. Really? How many hours a day would you say you watch TV?
About 5, 6. You know, almost a whole night, really.
Yeah, you like it a lot?
Yeah, it's nothing else to do, just watch TV.
Was the secret of the mystic palpitation? From whence came the toads in the rice that ate the poppy cockalorum and the cockahoopatrice? high was Muhammad's coffin suspended between heaven and earth? What was the name of Achilles when he hid himself among women?
Actually, I do know that one.
Sir Thomas Browne thought no one would ever figure it out. A wonderful man, Sir Thomas. Oh. Anyway, as if anyone in this era would care, but the name Achilles used when he hid himself among women was Pyrrha, which means redhead, and it suited him because he did have red hair. And he made a fine woman also. He was able to conceal himself, but Agamemnon, by a ruse, got him to betray his masculine nature. And then he had no choice but to sail with the army to besiege Troy. Since, as all schoolboys know, Menelaus of Sparta had lost his beautiful wife to an arrogant princeling of distant Troy, one Paris by name. The beautiful Helen of Sparta, who became Helen of Troy, was given to Paris by Aphrodite because of his judgment, the judgment of Paris. Because the three goddesses appeared to him and asked him to judge which was the more beautiful. Now, you know, if you do that, you're going to get two goddesses mad at you. And so it was difficult for Paris to decide. But then each goddess took him aside and bribed him. And the bribe he liked the most was Aphrodite's, and she said if she was chosen, she would bring him the most beautiful woman in the world. And lo and behold, it was. But the other gods weren't too happy about this state of affairs, and they were the ones behind the scenes pulling the strings, operating the human puppets during the terrible Trojan War and the Argives' massive siege of Troy, ending in its destruction, until uncovered by Heinrich Schliemann, the visionary archaeologist. But that's a different story for a different time. A story that flows out. A story that you've sort of peed out, but of course there is a difference, a vast difference. Make water, not war. I tell you, it's hardly worth going through all the contortions, convulsions, and remembering spells and all of that stuff. As it says in the Necronomicon, as a foulness ye shall know them, as a foulness ye shall know him. That is, if you even touch this stuff, this ultra black magic, it will
get all over you.
Yes, you will be contaminated by it, irretrievably degraded, and stuff you'd never know had existed will now be revealed, and revealed to be threatened because of your incompetence. And that's the way it is in the magical world of magical thinking. Yes, that's it. That's it. That live in the subways of New York.
Yeah.
The giant bugs, unlike the peaceful giant bugs of Lord Howe Island.
That a kid would get wrecked. What about Once Upon a Time in America? Doesn't Henry Fonda shoot a little kid in that in the early on?
That was the most shocking moment in the cinema.
Well, okay, yeah, right. You're right. Once Upon a Time in the West.
Yes. Once Upon a Time in the West, not Once Upon a Time in America.
I think it's Charles Bronson is the kid who sees his dad get killed.
Now I'm all confused.
And, the kid is traumatized and wants eventual revenge on Henry Fonda, which he gets.
The little kid.
Final moments, but like it's
your cute little kid grew up to look like Charles Bronson.
The benefit,
yes. Well, that's the main sequence. But I thought that they just to show how villainous Henry Fonda is, they had him.
I'm fairly sure that is true.
Suddenly, not so sure about this.
Well, I'm more sure than I was then.
Kid's dad, and he makes a point of like making sure the kid knows.
They need to show that he's the blackest black heart of them all, especially since you think he's going to be nice, Henry Fonda.
And it's so when Charles Bronson is gets Henry Fonda his comeuppance, he's steel-eyed and resolute, etc.
No, we can't do it that way.
Is the Magnificent Seven, but I saw a clip from it that
never did manage to see that one.
This looks interesting. After all, it is based on Kurosawa's original movie,
Seven Samurai.
Yeah, isn't it? I mean, I always heard it was.
Yeah.
Now I understand.
Star Wars is with the Hidden Fortress.
Yes, Kurosawa led the way in the structure of a certain type of action movie, which we no longer question.
Oh, do you hear about Tarantino putting out Kill Bill as a complete film presentation?
Yeah, I wouldn't mind seeing that one.
He's putting out both Kill Bill 1 and Kill Bill 2, but it's like one giant.
Yeah, he's got a. Can't be chill with Kill Bill.
No, he's actually adding more in. So it's like a director's cut, if you will.
And how many chopping days till Christmas?
Kill Bill movies. But there's more O-Ren animation, I hear. The anime of the...
Animation?
Preteen Lucy Liu...
Right.
Anime cartoon styling.
A delightful animated episode. With cell animation, I assume, not computer animation.
You should, I won't.
That's all right. So what do you suppose is the matter here? I reconnected. It does nothing.
What connected?
This microphone is...
Oh, let's not complain about the equipment. You know, that is against the rules at Radio Valencia. There one is not allowed to complain about the deteriorating equipment. Because, after all, it's a poor workman who blames his tools. And now... At this time, the Ask Dr. Hal show, live on radio, ends its Bobcast day on listener confounded RadioValencia.fm. We hope you've enjoyed the time you've spent with us and will have memories which are more pleasant than otherwise as a result of this encounter. If you are interested in the Ask Dr. Hal show, please... fail not to tune in, or whatever the appropriate argot may be, to the show on Radio Valencia at 10 p.m. on Friday. Of course, I realize this is an extraordinary circumstance. At 10 p.m. on Friday, you should be out at a party or something, having a blast, not staying at home to listen to the ramblings, the
strange mutterings of the Ask Dr. Hal show live on radio. On the other hand, it might be just copacetic and the bee's knees, so you could focus on the locus and get some traction on the action by planning to visit the Ask Dr. Hal show. Also, they're supposed to be downloadable from Radio Valencia, but if you're going to do it, better do it soon. They're flinching, faltering, disintegrating, crumbling, all this audio record of shows. Some of them may still be downloadable, and we invite you to make that decision. As we watch this grainy 16-millimeter footage of ducks bobbing on a pond, we are jolted by the knowledge that these ducks themselves are less than dust, and the age of the film process also tells upon it and upon us. No longer an enduring part of the human-created noosphere, it becomes a sideshow in a mordant display of the wreck of time. And so, as we always do, we bid you good night.
See?